Good morning. Somewhere in the, I guess in the heart of, or the middle of session, if we look at it from that standpoint, of a series of days, of course we don't really need to keep that in mind at all, and it's certainly better to not know what day it is at this point. And to just let that go. There's the schedule. There's the repeating schedule. Though on the page that we put up, the times are the same every day. The activities are the same every day. Of course, the content of each day varies. The schedule is a great teacher, that we can really have things be very simple and follow or become absorbed in whatever the prescribed activity is. And I want to bring up a few words to look particularly at the practice that we do in here. The practice of Zazen in session, or in broader, in the training period, than the foundational practice that we engage in together is the practice of sitting meditation. And in session, that's what we're doing for several hours per day. Of course, though, we're not always in here, we're not always sitting. And it's, again, important to look at where, if there are ideas in the mind about what meditation is, what Zazen is, what it reaches, or where it reaches and where it doesn't. Because as Roshi reminded yesterday, there's the whole 24/7. There's a whole 24/7. And meditation can be expressed in each happening of that 24/7. But the container of seated meditation is an outstanding vehicle. An outstanding vehicle for realization. The body is arranged in at least a reasonably comfortable manner. Maybe at times not so comfortable, but that, you know, one way or another we find our way with that. But we're seated. I read a line from Keizan Jokin in a couple of generations along from Master Dogen, in his guideline for Zazen. So arrange your body in the posture for Zazen. Cast your eyes down the length of your nose and look at original self. End of instructions. That's simple. And of course, we bring along a lot of difficulty, collected and imagined barriers that make that not so easy to swallow. This seated meditation, not a lot going on an external level. Ground holds us up, the room has air in it, you know, the body is arranged so. So there's nothing really then to do. Nothing really to do but sit. And for this practice, we have these time-honored methods which have come down to us through the centuries and through the millennia. You know, bringing up, looking at the life of the training of Shakyamuni Buddha and the training that he did, the practice of meditation was already an old time-honored practice when he began it. had been going on for a long time already. The practice of breath awareness. It said that many years into his teaching, Ananda asked the Buddha, "The monks are asking what your practice is when you meditate. What should I tell them?" He said, "Tell them I practice awareness of breath." Now, perhaps some of the monks were disappointed when they heard that, thinking that the Buddha would be engaged in some other activity, some imagined more advanced level. You know, like when I sit, I'm hanging out with Maitreya in the Tusita heavens or something. He said, "No, I practice breath awareness." Many years after answering his own root question, it's enough to sit, to be aware of breath, to be completely satisfied with that. It's a very skillful container session, the way that it's set up. We don't make many changes to it, use the same schedule. It's a very easy job in the office to set the schedule. It just changed 2017 to 2018. Save. Done. It's like it's nothing really. You could, you know, it doesn't change year after year. It doesn't need to. Why? Because it's been proven. It's been proven to be effective. Effective at helping people to resolve the dilemma of a human life in a time-honored way. Not having to take on a system of knowledge, not having to take on new beliefs, but rather to stop. Stop. And see, look down the length of the nose, and become ever more intimate with the mystery that we are. It's extraordinary how we can obscure that mystery and allow our conditioned beliefs and notions, opinions, to cloud that, to spoil an otherwise sunny day. I'll bring up as a talking point, a case from the Book of Equanimity. It is from one of the sutras of the Buddha. It's from the Sutra of Complete Awakening, in case 45. The main case, attention. The Sutra of Complete Awakening says, "Be at all times without deluded thoughts arising. Moreover, with regard to all deluded states of mind, do not try to extinguish them. Dwelling in the realm of delusion, do not add discriminating knowledge. When knowledge is absent, do not distinguish reality." So from the Sutra of Complete Awakening. And in looking at something to bring up as a talk, with Rohatsu session, to look back to something of the Buddha perhaps, I looked this up, and interesting to read that this was most likely, now they feel, formulated in China somewhere around the 6th century. So it's unlikely that this was around at the early time after the Buddha's passing. But such was, you know, the politics of the day. If you wanted something to have, weight, to be accepted, then better to put it on the pass. Oh, this came from India. So they said there was somebody from Kashmir brought it, we think, or something, but they never found who that was. You know, but it's more likely that this was arranged and put together somewhere around the 6th century in China. part that was put together as trying to reconcile a couple of different approaches or systems which are already growing up in the early Zen school. That's as much as I'm going to say about that. You know, there's a whole, even to look at the sutra, it's very long, and I began to read it, and then I realized, you've got a work meeting in 5 minutes. So I didn't get any further. And that's what I've always thought appreciated about the Zen school. Yeah, it's for cut to the chase. It's for give it to me on one page. Yeah, if it's a poem, one line's enough, or two lines maybe. You know, what is it? What is the heart of the matter? And that brings it neatly back to the case, in that sense, because this is what was selected here, the spirit of the Zen school, from this whole sutra to pull out these lines. And one line is far and away enough for, certainly for one talk, one session, or a lifetime, if it can be swallowed. The sutra says, be at all times without deluded thoughts arising. Quite straightforward. That's it. Be at all times without deluded thoughts arising. There's a case in the book of Vines and Entanglements, or Entangling Vines, Rinzai Koan collection. I forget the master's name, but it said whenever he was asked a question about Zen, of the Buddha Dharma, he said, cease deluded thinking. That was his device. Cease deluded thinking. So, how do we take that in our sitting? Be at all times without deluded thoughts. Our relationship of a wave of thought is practiced, understood, is critical, and also always the focus of a lot of the practice of the difficulties that come out of Zazen. Because we are so enamored of the thinking sense, and particularly its relationship to this identified sense of me, this one, with its accumulated karma, to use that word, or conditioning, to use another, the accumulated bias, preference, also, you know, the abuse of a trauma, all of these happenings through at least this lifetime, are gathered together and play out between the ears. To be without all times, it advises us here, be at all times without deluded thoughts arising. What is then a deluded thought? And when we pick up a thought and make a belief out of it, and mistake it for truth, then perhaps we could say it has become a deluded thought. It becomes a barrier or a block. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. It would be better if. And we take any, I should get mine. I should have got mine already. On and on, ad infinitum, ad nauseum. It says here, the first line, be without that. But the case doesn't end there. It says, with regard, you know, first of all, be without deluded states of mind. Okay. Now we may find we have an issue with that. It may not be so easy. So with regard to all deluded states of mind, do not try to extinguish them. we can see how that is with our experience of thought, particularly in session, the things that come up. Perhaps after, you know, the first couple of days, there's the surface banalities of this and that, which isn't particularly captivating anyway, and just chopping around on the surface. And then a couple of days go by and we're engaged with whatever our method for Zazen is, and those thoughts begin to settle or to drop away, and a natural concentration comes more to the fore. But then those deeper thoughts, the way that we really stick, the way the self sticks and identifies, those things then begin to percolate up, to come up. And often they're triggered by our association with pain or criticism or difficulty. You know, it'll provoke an attendant thought to come up to give us our get out of jail or out of session free card about why it's just not happening how I want it to happen. But this prescription says, do not try to extinguish that. We could try anyone who's a Zen practitioner of some practice knows it's not a matter of turning thinking off, and it's not a matter of suppressing or ignoring thought either. We realize very quickly that there's no control there. There's no control. There is a happening. Thought, feeling, and emotion appears and disappears as the temperature changes, as the light quality changes. But we give so much more value, typically, to what's going on between the ears. But I would suggest that when sitting, give no more value to what's going on between the ears than the pain in your knees, of a sound of whatever fell. I say no more value each experience as it is. If we try to extinguish, then we're in a game of whack-a-mole. Something else pops up. But if we practice our Zazen with attention, with this open attention that sees and experiences all the sense gates, whatever is going on, open and alive, then, you know, with eyes open, not slouched or just kind of cruising around kind of aimlessly, bit of this, bit of that. You know, then the days tick by and session's over. You know, Zazen is dynamic. Here in our posture and then awake. The meaning of the word Buddha, awakened one. Sit awake. With whatever the content is, irrelevant what the content is, being alive and fully intimate with whatever this original self is, however it appears, then no need to extinguish thought. No need to call thought deluded or enlightened or to play any of those games. Little thought. Okay? Lots of thoughts. Okay? Memories, projections, future, all of this secretions of the brain is just allowed, with no picking and choosing. Don't try to extinguish, or neither hold something up and cherish it and hold something up over something else. But rather be resolute in our Zazen, with deep roots. Feel your roots. You have the roots go, don't have it end at the knees of a tailbone. You know, it's like the roots go right through. You reach heaven and earth. And let the mind be realized. Let go of those petty preoccupations, the ones that we pick and choose, the blockers. Is that sessions like an oven, then? A heater, yeah? It's like where we come in, we're arranged here like cookies on a tray. We're all cookies, we're all like different shapes. And some of us have got more chocolate chips than others. That's how it is. And we just slide it in and close the door for 7 days. That's a positive thing to burn up. Because you cannot lose anything that you need in here. Better to burn up. Better to really burn up. What can you lose? Going on, says, dwelling in the realm of delusion, do not add discriminating knowledge. Do not add discriminating knowledge. When knowledge is absent, do not distinguish reality. So these four lines, they take away the escapes. They cut off the escapes. Don't add discriminating knowledge. Knowledge is not there. There's no knowledge needed. It's another thing that we become that we're usually enamored of. Knowledge. And we bring that to this practice. Something we so want to know, to just get it down and get it boxed off. Got it now. Now I'm okay. That doesn't work. And what knowledge do we need? I remember where I used to work in LA, and it was when instant message was still quite new. And we would swap things by instant message, and somebody would ask a question. How do you do so-and-so? Or what does so-and-so mean? And he'd have this little acronym he'd send back, which would be JFGI, which meant just effing Google it. If you want knowledge, there's knowledge. If you need an answer to something, you can find it. But don't extend that to the Dharma with ideas of what's being attained or what's lacking. What it does demand is to let go. Let go of one's cherished notions and opinions and beliefs, even for a short period of time. Just let go of that. And use everything as fuel for the oven. All of the difficulty. All of the good stuff too, but all of the difficulty as well. If you have frustrations, if you feel negative about people and things, or whatever these things, these stirrings that come up, that's great. It's like firewood. Throw it in. Use it all. Each expression is the perfect manifestation of the living Dharma. Sounds very grand. It's also so. How can you find fault with this life and continue for us to, where we make excuses for not showing up to it, holding something back. Of course, session is difficult at times, and no one really knows who hasn't done a session what it's about, right? We had somebody, Keith Parr, who's another Brit, who was here last year, I think, doing a 7-day session, and it was like day after day 5 or 6, he said his phone went off in the middle of the night. And it was his daughter calling, and she said, "How's your holiday going, Dad?" You know, you like laugh about that. Cause, so I'm back home, yeah, off on your holidays. So it's not a holiday in that sense. But we're at the point in the middle of session or in the meta session where there's that choice, might not come up as a choice, but as an energetic there, where it's quite easy really to just coast on out to the end. Yeah. Show up and sit and do the things that's required by the schedule and do that. But there's always the opportunity to use this rare time that we have, session, to redouble the efforts, to knuckle down. It's like, okay, not a moment to waste. Because really, there's not a moment to waste. Each one of us that comes to session, if there's a question, a gap, something to be reconciled or to be realized, this is the ideal scenario to take care of that. We abandon these deluded, be at all times without deluded thought. Really to look into that. To leave these ideas behind and step off the 100-foot pole. Let's use another Zen expression. And really just immerse, dive in to whatever this is. Whether it is experienced or feels mundane or not, is a preference, is an idea. Whether we prefer sitting over work practice is a preference. It's fine. I got all kinds of preferences. I'm sure you do too. But whatever you are doing, whatever this is our life. Not a moment to waste. Are we satisfied? Really? Do we leave this session as satisfied? I went all in. I didn't leave anything on the table. No regrets. You know, Aishu brought up with me, he'd asked Roshi about what it valued most about the Buddha's life. I thought about it for a while, and I rejected a few pithy Zen answers, which I could have trotted out. You could say a few things that sound good. And I really thought about it. What do I value? Very value, and what I said was, his determination. His determination through whatever happening, whatever circumstance, whatever challenge, your determination in this lifetime or the next to resolve the great matter. Not the great matter in comparison to other matters, trying to talk it up, but this, the great matter, the matter of life. And how we are, how we appear, that's what's transmitted to everyone else. The quality of our zazen, the quality of our practice of our immersion in present awareness, that's what's transmitted. That's what we share. That's why in the session precautions it says make sure your offering is of the highest merit for each one of us. That's what's shared. We have, we have this time. I already said that. There's nothing really to say. Say a few words or pointers, but everyone is, already has everything that is required to resolve whatever question that we came in with. If you wish to be realized, then do that. There are no barriers apart from the ones between the ears. Thank you for your sincere efforts so far, and please let's do our very best as we continue.